Chapter 1. A Brief History of the African Elephant. The path was littered with dead branches and twigs, and the skeletal spines of acacia scrub poked into our sides like needles. Every step forward had to be done with the utmost care not to make a sound, and we crept forward like hunters sneaking towards their prey. Karnem, our local bushman guide, led the way, his rusty old spear pointing forward in the direction of our quarry. I watched as he delicately tiptoed over the litter of foliage, as quiet as a mouse. I tried my best to follow in his footsteps, but his stride, though silent, was fast and deliberate. "Keep up and be quiet," he halted briefly and whispered, staring intently into my eyes with a passion I hadn't seen before. "One noise, one false move, and they'll trample you to pieces." I nodded without a peep and looked around. I couldn't see anything except the surrounding trees. We were in the middle of a dense thicket of palms and thorny undergrowth, trying our best to get forward towards a cluster of baobab trees where the herd was browsing. "This way, shh," whispered Carney. He held his hand up, motioning for me to move, but I was half balanced on one leg, and before I could take another step, I stumbled and put a foot straight down on a twig that snapped with a clear, crisp crack. Carney whipped his head round and grimaced, shh, putting a finger to his lips and screwing up his face, which made him look like an angry warthog. I pursed my lips and shrugged. I couldn't even see where the herd was. "Let's get closer," he said, "but be quiet." Closer we got, padding forward until I could hear the rustle of bushes up ahead. "There." Carney pointed into a small clearing at the base of a fat baobab tree. A huge bull elephant was ripping a branch to shreds with his trunk and feeding the mulch into his mouth. There was another crunch to my right, and I looked over. Not 20 feet away was another bull, even bigger than the first, except this one wasn't eating. He had his trunk waving around in the air, pointing in our direction. "We call him a sniffer dog," said Gareth, who'd been trailing behind me. Gareth was a professional hunter and was keeping watch to the rear, gripping with both hands the bolt-action rifle that was loaded with high-caliber ammunition. "He sniffs out the air for danger while the rest of the boys eat. Has he seen us?" I asked. "They have bad eyes," interrupted Carney, "but he knows we're here for sure. Come on, see that fallen tree up ahead? Let's get there." We darted forward, as quickly as we could without breaking into a run, me following Carney with Gareth behind. Never run, never run, never run. It had been drilled into me by Gareth before we set off. An elephant can run at 25 miles an hour, far outpacing any human. "Duck there," said Carney. "If he charges, we'll be safe if you bury yourself under the log." I did as I was told, crouching down by the log. I didn't fancy my chances, though. If the bull came at us, the tusks on the elephant could surely rip it apart in no time. "Don't worry," said Gareth. "I'll tell you if we need to run." "But you said never run," I protested. He shrugged. "Look, when I say never, I mean sometimes you don't really have a choice. Usually an elephant will do only a mock charge unless he's really pissed off. Or if he's been shot at, of course, then he means business, especially if he sees my rifle." I thought back to my own close shaves, such as the time in Malawi when I'd been charged by a massive female elephant on the Shiri River and my local guide had needed to fire a warning shot towards the rampaging beast. Then there was the time in Uganda when a whole herd of elephants wandered straight through my camp at night, almost squashing me in my tent. I remembered the story of a fellow paratrooper who'd been gored by an elephant in the wilds of Kenya, ripping his arm in two, and how, a couple of months before I set off to Botswana, another soldier in the British Army had been killed by an elephant whilst on an anti-poaching patrol. There was no doubting that elephants are dangerous wild animals whose relationship with humans is, at best, turbulent. So what on earth was I doing, travelling on foot through some of the most dangerous terrain in Africa, trying to research more about them? It was a good question, and there'd been plenty of times when I'd been photographing them that I'd been forced to question my own sanity. But I'd always calm myself with the thought that in spite of their massive size and potential for causing damage, they were also highly intelligent, gentle beasts that were capable of great compassion and needed to be understood. We sat still, watching as more males arrived, grazing on the low-lying branches, seemingly unaware of our presence, apart from the sniffer dog, who never stopped wafting his trunk in our direction. "Right, I think it's time to go," said Gareth calmly. "There's about 10 of them, and if any more come, we might find ourselves surrounded, and that would end badly." I agreed. We'd got very close, and I'd been lucky to get some great photographs and observe the herd up close and personal, but I didn't want to push my luck.